I titled my message this week, Going, and then Gone. We are about serving a loving and gracious God. And our scripture this week was in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. A lot of the parables, red letter edition, hope and pray that you read them for yourself and let the Word of God soak into your heart. This thing at Starbucks and Chick-fil-A fascinates me. What do you mean? Well, you go past those places and the drive-in is lined up around the building. One of the things that happened lately in our society, especially at Starbucks, is there's a attitude of habit gifting. I think maybe because of the prices, people in the Chick-fil-A thing, the full meal is like 30, 40, 50 bucks, but Starbucks, most people just get coffee or something like that. So I guess the habit of gifting is easier. Well, what's that mean? What's that do? Well, someone arrives at the window to pay only to find that the person in front of them had already paid their bill, even without knowing the total. It happens. It gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling of companionship with the other human being. Even though you don't know who it is, it gives you hope for the world and gives you trust in humanity, like a little boost. It makes you want to do something in return to give that warm and fuzzy feeling to somebody else, too. It happened to me at the car wash. I pulled up to get a car wash from a truck, and the guy come out, and he greeted me, and I asked how much, and he said, "It's on me. Have a blessed day." And I thought, wow. Gratitude fosters graciousness. And when you feel thankful and gifted, you feel inspired to do the same for others. That's why Christianity is not meant to be a rules-based, finger-wagging religion. You should do this and you should do that and sit up here on the anxious bench until you make a decision for the Lord. No, it's a kind of a religion, but it is also a relational, gratitude-based, covenant style of faith. You see, Christians don't bestow love, forgiveness, and grace because the rule book said you should do that. No, they do it because they feel a deep sense of gratitude, humility, warmth, and love from the realization of Jesus' gift of grace, his sacrificial gift of love, his forgiveness, and the overwhelming magnitude of his saving inheritance that we appreciate and trust and obey, for there's no other way. I love that hymn. You see, when Christians realize the depth and the breadth of what they have received, their hearts become, like Wesley put it, strangely warmed. Ever wonder where Theodore Seuss Geisel, otherwise known as Dr. Seuss, got his idea for the Grinch? Well, just as the day of Pentecost, the disciples, whose souls had been touched and energized by the Holy Spirit's power, felt a sudden infusion of desire for service and mission. All those who give their hearts and lives to God also feel the same impulse to give and to serve. You see, God's love and grace is a powerful force. It's sort of like a combustible motivator. It sets your heart on fire with the love of God. So Jesus, when he was here on earth, spent his ministry cultivating relationships with everybody that he could. And he taught by example. That's what discipleship is. He healed. He forgave. He showed grace. He loved, asking nothing in return. That's the nature of a gift. They are free with no requirement. Jesus had no expectations, only an invitation to be in a relationship with the gracious giver and to point to God who gives all gifts. Jesus also knew who was truly in a relationship with God and who wasn't. It's amazing. You can tell who's a true disciple. Somebody that calls themselves a Christian and doesn't act out and do the things that you think a Christian should do, being a covenant carrier and an honorable servant of God. And who wasn't? We call that spiritual discernment. And you need to do that. Jesus said, test the spirit and make sure it's of me. Because Jesus knew that faith based in gratitude never lies dormant in the heart. It always breaks forth. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. I love that song too. Graciousness, love, and acts of service. The scripture for this week, we see Jesus telling his listeners another story. The third one in Matthew 25. And it's about what it means to be in a true relationship with God. Also in that chapter was the parable of the oil lamps, and he emphasized faith in God. In the parable of the talents, he emphasized commitment to God. Now, the third parable, speaking about the way that we treat strangers. Jesus speaks of how he knows a true disciple by the state of their heart of pure gold. Praying daily, cultivating a close relationship with God. Though they may have little means, these people give all they can to help others. And it is a blessing. We have so many givers in this little church known as Bethel. And it's not hard to tell, as Jesus puts it. I love this. Sheep from goats. Well, how can you tell? Well, even lost sheep still beat and bleep like sheep. You know, we're all like sheep and gone astray. But a living faith means that your faith lives actively in the world in the form of care, humility, love, authenticity. A living faith means you walk with God humbly, act justly in all that you do, and bestow the acts of mercy upon all that you meet. Wow. Our relationship with God resides within our heart. In our hands, take their orders from our heart. That's why people say, well, we're the hands and the feet of Jesus. He's not here right now in the physical sense, so we got to pick up the slack. Walking in the way. You know, before we were called Christians, we were known as the way. And it means that you know that you know that you do or otherwise don't do matters, because we have to make conscious decisions for the good of the kingdom. Not just to others. You know, in the heart, it is a state of heart that we can reveal by the acts of our hands. You think about that for a minute. Many people, I think we all come to know and love sometimes at church, and they come to church weekly, and sometimes people get on committees and even lead initiatives, but who argue? Fight and treat their brothers and sisters inside and outside of the church with annoyance or disdain. Thank God we don't have any of that at Bethel, and I truly mean that, because I have served some churches in my ministry that those kind of people kind of kept the church from doing a lot of good things. Well, they may appear as Christians, but they haven't cultivated a true relationship with God. How can you know? Because when you have true gratitude for Christ, his sacrificial gift of life and love, you can't help but love, respect, and cherish others, and want to show that love hugely and actively. As I said, and it's just come to mean so much to me, because we can't always agree to disagree. Even well-meaning people can't agree on some things, but we can love. Love the way Christ showed us the love. So how many people do you know who may not flaunt their Christianity, but who sport a situation with God, a strong relationship, more fervent with energy? You see, in our current world of dissension, arguments, polarization, criticism, it's all more important that we as Christ followers cultivate a close and intimate relationship with God. That makes us a feel a sense of gratitude in our hearts as a result of that relationship. For only in this way can we begin to build the kind of alternative community that Jesus envisioned. Well, this past week, families all over the United States and Tallahassee and everywhere gathered for the holiday that we call Thanksgiving. We are grateful. It is a holiday that is meant to be more about gratitude and care and vision of a common humanity. And we know the story about the meal cobbled together, shared between Native Americans and these new settlers called pilgrims, in a land that they had no idea how to cultivate. They relied on their native neighbors, who showed them how to farm and how to share meals and how to share their culture and, more importantly, wisdom. They learned a lot from the Native Americans, and they were thankful not only for the gifts of food they shared, but the friendship that they cultivated. And the holiday would endure, reminding us of what it means to be truly grateful and to share gratitude together with acts of sharing and goodwill, non-judgmental, but respect for the differences. I heard a story today, and I don't know the whole story, and I remember her last name is Hale, and you can probably look it up, and she is known as the godmother of Thanksgiving. That's pretty cool. But today, the meaning of Thanksgiving is really maybe getting lost. We stress over the turkey and the cranberry sauce, and we travel, we talk, and we see family, and sometimes others, but rarely does the true story of Thanksgiving get told at our own table. Used to do that a lot. It needs to be done. Perhaps this year it would be different. For Christ followers, we have much to be thankful for. And in a culture of division that we live in this day and time, we still have those who reach out to others and share their wisdom, their love, and their means. We still have those who do not judge, but invite all to the table equally. We still have those who give of their lives in multitude of ways, and we still have those who feel the immense gratitude that comes with knowing the true gifts of Christ and what he has done in their lives. I challenge us, let us be thankful, enormously thankful. And in doing so, I wish and pray that you feel, as Wesley said, the warming of the heart that may infuse you with love, joy, thankfulness, and the impetus for change. We all need a little bit of change. We're always growing in grace. That pruning sometimes can be a little hard, but it needs to be done. And may you be a blessing to your family and to your neighbors. That's our prayer for you and to the community and to God. And may you reap the abundant reward that Jesus has to offer to you. In this last Sunday before the beginning of Advent, may we humbly pray that Jesus becomes active in the world through every person. For Jesus knew then, and we still know now, the world changes one heart at a time. May yours be the first to bleed the love of Christ. And may your approach to Advent, the one of soul-searching, prayer, and true commitment to the one who loves and forgives and bestows and saves, in the precious name of Jesus, who gave his life so that we may live. Amen.